You have no idea what it feels like to be standing on this stage, to sit here, and for 9 months from the day that summer camp ended in August of 2016, we have been waiting for you to be here. We have been waiting for this moment, for you guys to get here and camp to start. And it's here. And we could not be more excited. Here's the deal. Last year in August, we got together as camp directors. Those of us from here on the hill, from our junior high camp, our high school camp, our camp down in San Diego, our camp in New England, and we started praying about what this year's theme was going to be. You see, all summer long, we talked to your youth pastors. We asked them, what do you see as a huge struggle in your youth group? What do you see as the things that you feel like your students are struggling with the most? And we take notes all summer long. I have a whole thing in my phone of just notes from what youth pastors have said week after week after week. And as there were certain themes that emerged here in Ponderosa, I came to that meeting with these top three things. I was like, this is what I feel like the students that come to Ponderosa, their youth pastors are saying that they struggle with. And the crazy thing was, as Ponderosa shared, as our junior high camp shared, as our elementary school camp shared, as SD and New England and all of these camps started sharing, themes started to emerge. Trends started coming out. And one of which was identity. Youth pastors saying, our students don't know who they are. They struggle with knowing really who they are and the weight and their worth and their value way too often. Is on what people think of them, or how people treat them, or what they have to offer this world. And they get lost. They get lost in it. The second theme that emerged was this concept of obedience, this concept of knowing the truth, of knowing how we should act and how we should live, but struggling to actually live it out. That we know right from wrong, but at the end of the day, we end up following the ways that feel good in the moment. We find ourselves, like Psalm 73 that says, does the Most High care? Does he even care what I do and know? Does it really matter if I give into this or if I do this? We just land too easily on God's grace versus choosing to be obedient. And lastly, we heard over and over again this theme of this starting and coming to camp and getting fired up. Because the thing I love about Hume is that we can easily get fired up in here. You're with 1,000 people, and we're going to begin to worship to an incredible band and through music up here all week long. And many of you will begin to express yourself and to fall more and more in love with God as you worship him through music. And as your speaker, James, who's amazing, is going to bring God's word, you're going to find yourselves falling more and more in love with the text. And as you go back into your cabins and you hang out with your counselors, you're going to find yourselves talking about God more and more and more. But does it end here at camp? So many youth pastors shared about this concept of perseverance, of starting strong, but not finishing strong. A starting with this passion and getting fired up. But then Hume Lake just becomes an experience versus something that transforms your life. And as we looked at these three concepts that, I want to say ironically, but it wasn't ironic, that God was having moving in so many different camps across the country, that we started praying about what's the character that we're going to study this summer? Who are we going to unpack and dive into their lives and glean from and look at? And I remember one of our camp directors, Derek Gere, came back and said, I think that we should do King Saul. A lot of us were kind of hesitant. You see, King Saul is never a character that you ever hear people relate to. That you don't hear people say, like, gosh, I want to be like Saul someday. And then we find ourselves many times that we look at people like Paul or like David, who's called a man after God's own heart, or we look at characters like we studied last summer, Elijah, And we find ourselves in this spot saying, even though they had failures, even though they were weak at times, man, I wish I had the boldness of Elijah. I wish I could step out like Peter and not be afraid what people think of me. And even though they had failures, some of them major, major flaws, we still say we want to be them. But I've never really heard anyone say, I want to be King Saul. Man, he's the man. But ironically, he's standing on that side of the stage in the opener as Cale's standing there and being chosen king, and you all cheered for him. That there was a buy-in to him. And so as we look and we dive into King Saul, and we as camp directors studied him, we kept coming back to this crazy belief of saying, I've never said that I want to be King Saul. But in reality, I find myself in him. I find myself too often fearing what people think of me. Too often giving in to the pressures of other people for the sake of my reputation. And as we as a camp director struggled with this text, and to be honest, it's rocked me this year. That we found ourselves falling more and more in love with this theme. So if you have your Bibles, open up with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, it's in the Old Testament. Kind of start at the beginning, move your way to the right, and you will find yourselves in 1 Samuel. And here's the thing. If you've come up to camp and you don't have a Bible, we want to get you a Bible. We will give you a Bible. If you just forgot yours this week at camp, we'll give you one to borrow for the week. But if you don't have a Bible, we want to give you one. So see the lead counselors in the back after chapel and make sure you don't leave this chapel without having a Bible. And I know James, he loves God's word. And as your speaker brings the word to you every morning, every evening, I want you to bring your Bibles into this room so you could open up and dive into this word with us. And so 1 Samuel 12, we're going to pick up on this passage. And it's kind of basically right after this opener it happened. The people of Israel demanded a king. They were God's chosen people. They were set apart. They were supposed to be like no other nation that had ever existed. Yet they look around, and even though God had fought their battles, and God confused armies, and they began to fight amongst themselves, that he used thunder and crazy things to show his power and to fight for his people, they still came back to the spot of saying, no, it doesn't feel good enough. We want a king like all the other nations. We just want to be like everyone else. Do you relate to that? That God, as believers, those of us in this room that have a faith, we're not called to blend into this culture. We're not called to fit in and just to be like everyone else. God has called us to be like Israel, like no other nation. Yet this was their desire of their heart. And God didn't make you and he didn't make me a robot. And there's sometimes I'm so grateful for that, and other times I just wish that he would like put a chip in me and like program me and be like, beep, 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 you know? Be like, now you're a Christian, live it, you know? And he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to us. He gives us this choice and this ability to choose him or to choose the world. And like Romans 1 says that if we desire the world, he will give us over. He will hand us over to the desires of our heart. But if we desire him, he will equally give us him. And so we find ourselves in 1 Samuel 12 as we pick up in this story that the people demanded a king and God gave them a king. Even though that wasn't his desire for their life. And they found it that God chose Saul, and Saul was anointed. And now Samuel comes before the people and says this. And we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel 12, verse 20. And it says this. And Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. you have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. In this passage, we found our theme verse for the summer. Verse 24, Samuel exhorts the people, and he says, yes, you have done this, and God has given you over. I love that part in the video where my character who represents Samuel in the text, the prophet of Samuel, when they're demanding a king and they're saying, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king to go out and fight our battles. And Selah says, a king will fight your battles. He will lead you into war. But where will he get his men? From you. He will put a sword in your son's hands and march them out to battle for the glory of his name. And where will he get the food to feed them? From you. He will tax your people to starvation. Because to you, to him, you are just mere subjects. But to Theos, you are his beloved children. And I get so caught up in that part of the video. Because I think that that's so much of how we live our lives. That God's word says something, yet we desire something else. And we can't see beyond what is right in front of us. We can't see the other side of the coin. Yet God is saying, trust me, have faith in me, fear me, put me on the throne. Let me lead you. Make my name great. Yet we still go after our own desires and our own will. And Samuel says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully, considering what he has done for you. What does it mean to fear the Lord? For an unbeliever, fear of the Lord is fear. I think sometimes we see God as this like sweet little old man. Just like up in the clouds and is like, hey, yeah, I love you. I just love you so much. I just love you. You know, I do. I love you. It's okay. It's okay that you're bad. I love you. You know? That's not the God I serve. The God I serve is as holy, and he's perfect. And because he is holy and perfect, he cannot be around sin. He can't tolerate it. That he is completely set apart. And so fear of the Lord, for those of us that haven't put our faith and our hope and our life in Christ's hands, is the wrath of God. It's eternal separation from him. But the fear of the Lord for the believer is a reverence and an awe of God and his great magnitude and out of his great love for us, that he is perfect and he saw us as things that were dead apart from him, that he sent his one and only son to be a sacrifice to pay for our sins. And that awe and that reverence of God is what compels us to live. As Hebrews says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us worship God so acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That we stand in awe of who God is. And that we desire to serve him faithfully with all of our hearts because of who he is. If we look in this passage in 1 Samuel, in verse 21, it says, "And do not turn aside from empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty." And too often in our lives, we run after the things of this world. We run after things that are temporary, to desire to fill some kind of hole in our lives, to give us worth and value, to make us feel important, to make our names made known. And at the end of the day, when we find ourselves wanting and weighed out, they will be empty. Yet to desire to serve God faithfully with all of our hearts, that we wouldn't just be people that stand in awe of the cross and what God did for us and how he sent his son to die for us, but that we would pick up our own cross and follow him with everything that we have. Considering what God has done for us. God has done great things for you. And if you don't know what those things are, or if you don't believe the truth that you've heard, I'm going to continue to pray that God will open your eyes this week to see God in a powerful way. I always say, this is the most beautiful view at Hume. I stand on this stage and I look out into this room. And I think too often I stand here and I just wonder, I wish I knew all of your stories. I wish I knew who you were, how you got here. Are you so annoyed that you're here? Did you come kicking and screaming and you're just ready for this chapel to wrap up so you can head outside? Or have you been waiting to come back to Hume all year long because this is where you feel the closest to God? Are you eager and hoping that God's going to move in your life? I wish I knew your stories. But the crazy thing is, I know that God works uniquely in each one of us, that he is that big, that he can move in each one of our lives this week at camp. And my prayer is that the people that are sitting before me will not be the same people that will be sitting before me on Friday evening, that we will get back in our cars and our vans and our buses in a completely different way. That we would desire to leave God in his rightful spot. You know, we do things here at Hume in the opener, and we just, you know, this idea that we had of doing the Uga Chaka, you know, part in the opener, and we're kind of like, what if this flops? Like, what if, like, nobody, like, screams, you know? Like, that would kind of be terrible, and it would kind of ruin the whole thing. But you guys liked it, huh? So you guys got real into it, and it was crazy, because there's even that moment as I was coming out that I'm like reprimanding the balcony, like, you will stop talking. Like, your king did not win. And I think that, like, too often we can get easily caught up. We can get so caught up in the world. Saul is a character in the Bible that we see that gets caught up. And as I've prayed for this summer, as I've searched my own heart, there's been a phrase that has kind of been coined in my head. That each day, each decision I make, each conversation that I have, each week, month, year, and my life, I will come to a spot that I will either forsake God for the glory of my name, to make myself known, or I will forsake myself, my selfish ambition, my desires to follow along what everyone else is going to do, for the glory of God's name to be made great through my life. At the end of your life, you will have been weighed out, and each one of us will have forsaken something in our life. And you will watch this week as Selah, the Samuel, the prophet, speaks so much truth into Saul. And she will try again and again and again to get him to a spot that he will choose to be faithful, to fear the Lord, and to serve him faithfully. And as much as she can't change his heart, I can't change yours. But my desire is that you will come to see who the living God is, and that you will be so compelled by who God is and what he has done for you, that you will fear him, fall before him, and choose to serve him faithfully with every breath that you have. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you know us. You know our motivation for why we do the things that we do. God, I pray that we, as we walk through this text, that you would convict when you need to convict, that you would encourage when you need to encourage, that you would show us truly who you are, and that we would desire to fall more in love with who you are this week. God, that you are consuming fire. Yeah, you love us. And from page one of your word to the very last page, you are a God that pursues and never gives up. Yet is also holy and perfect. And your ways are way beyond what we could ever imagine. And so, God, I pray that you move this week in ways that we may never, ever expect that you would move, move, move. May we be different people by the end of this week, not just for 1 week of camp, but may we be different people that go down and live it out in our cities and our homes, and may you become great through us and through the people in this chapel. And all God's people said, amen.